We're in a summer sermon series called, what's in a name? Images of Christ. We're taking a look at a different name or a title that Jesus uses for himself or that other people attribute to him. And I have some bad news. This sermon series is coming to an end. And why is that bad news? Because that means that summer's coming to an end. Oh no, golf season coming to an end. Children going off to school, summer's coming to an end. Or maybe you're one of those parents that is like, yes, back to school. Go. But the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone is what is before us. And if you weren't with us last week, I hope you were someplace fantastic. I hope you weren't stuck at work on that Sunday. It was what a beautiful summer day. But I kind of mentioned something about a brand new plaque that's out in front of our building. You can see it there on the right. 1925, we've officially made it as a historic site in the village of Whitefish Bay. And I said, you know, our history actually goes back further than that as a community of faith, as a church. Matter of fact, in 1892, the Methodists were the first to hold services up here in Whitefish Bay. Jake, were you at that worship service? No, not even Jake. Generations have gone and gone and gone. 1902 was our charter as this church, and we know that it burnt to the ground. And when that church burnt to the ground, they must have thought, that's it, it's over. We don't have a lot of money. What are we going to do? And yet, with faith in God and working together, in 1924, we laid that cornerstone, and the building was finished in 1925, and that is our plaque, Cornerstones. That cornerstone has been moved over time, and right now, if you enter into the building on Danbury, you can see that. But you see, over time, cornerstones have become simply ceremonial instead of functional. You know what I mean? Cornerstones now have dates on them, or if the gift was good enough, a name on them. Some cornerstones aren't crucial to the structure of the building, and some of them are actually made to be broken open as a time capsule. But that wasn't always the case. Matter of fact, in the history of humanity building things, this recent history of a cornerstone being ceremonial is brand new. Throughout most of history, laying a cornerstone was a deeply important experience. In terms of faith, it was a religious experience placed on the prominent site of the building that is to take place, the place that's going to be passed the most. It was the most important stone of all, because every other stone in that building is going to take shape because of the cornerstone. And so I want to just bring three things to your attention today very, very quickly. And I noticed in our joy notes that actually there's three things that you can actually write down if you want to play along with me and keep score. The first thing we need to know about cornerstones is that cornerstones are built to last. They're built to last, and yet we know some people reject them. How many of you have ever been driving in a rural area? This happens to me every time we go to the Outer Banks of North Carolina, driving from Norfolk to the island. It's all rural, poor North Carolina farmland, and you pass, there's at least two of them, you're just driving along, there's nothing, then all of a sudden sticking up out of the grass is a chimney and a foundation. That's not unique. Have you ever been driving in a rural place and all you see is the chimney and the foundation? They are built to last. You can't topple a cornerstone. Built to last. We heard in this series, Jesus is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. We heard just a few weeks ago, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And yet Scripture lets us know that this stone has been rejected, is continuing to be rejected in 2019. People, men and women, young and old, refusing to build their life upon the foundation that Jesus has offered, refusing to place their hope in one who is Savior. Well, I had a conversation with a member of this church about cornerstones, and I learned something from him yesterday. He was on an archaeological dig in Caesarea. Has anyone been to Caesarea? Have you visited the Holy Land and been up to Caesarea? And he was a part of this dig that was unearthing what was basically a Greek or a Roman kind of temple that was being built as a tribute to Caesar. And he says he was there. I take his word for it. He was there when they actually came to the cornerstone. Now, all of our cornerstones are neat, right? They're squares. They're impressive. You could put your level on them, and that little bubble would be right in the middle, which is, if you're leveling something, that's where you want the little bubble to be, right in the middle. But the cornerstone there was different. As he tells the story, the cornerstone was actually built into or out of the bedrock, which he actually called the living rock. And the cornerstone was not perfectly straight. No, it was made to fit. By our modern-day sensibilities, it would not be seen as a perfect stone. And yet, it was actually stronger that way because it was a part of the bedrock, a part of the living rock. And then God is apt to do, gave him a little nudge. Has God ever poked you with an insight? With an insight? And all of a sudden, it dawned on him, this verse about the people rejecting the cornerstone. Did the Pharisees and the scribes and the people in control, did they reject Jesus as cornerstone because in their eyes, he was not perfect? But thanks be to God that our cornerstone has been built into the bedrock, into the living rock. There is no foundation stronger than the foundation that we have through Christ as our cornerstone. So if you were... That's the end of number one. You can put a period at the end of that sentence if you're writing it down. Number two, you know, when John, but certainly people of Jesus' day, they learned by memory, they memorized the entire Psalms, all of them. It was their hymn book. It was their song book. When Jesus hung on the cross and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? It wasn't just that he was crying out because of the weight of it. No, he was taking people on a journey to Psalm 22. That's the beginning. And everyone who heard that cry would have recognized that he was reciting this psalm, this powerful song that really talked about the imagery of the cross and what the Messiah was going to do. And so when Peter is writing to this group of people who were very much a part of the Jewish tradition that were now followers of Jesus, they would have understood it to be all of Psalm 118. And I can summarize all of Psalm 118 with one word, victory. With Jesus as our cornerstone, victory is ours. It has already been won. Psalm 118 says things like this, out of my distress... Anyone here ever had a moment of distress? A season of distress? Maybe you're feeling distressed right now. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord, and the Lord answered me. With the Lord on my side, who can I fear? There is no, but there is victory. Victory, and hearing this 118 and this cornerstone victory, also a victory of deliverance. You see, the Psalm 118 actually quotes Exodus, which is pretty rare. We remember the story, right? The plagues come down, and Moses is saying, hey, let my people go. And the Pharaoh finally says what? Get out of here. And so there's Charlton Heston. He comes to the Red Sea. He strikes it. The water builds up on walls, and they go through, and then the water comes crashing down, and they're on the other side. And there is something beautiful in the Old Testament. They burst into song. I imagine them doing a little bit of a happy dance. But a woman is given voice. So rare. Miriam, the sister of Moses and Aaron, and she sings, and Psalm 118 shares her song, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. Songs of joy and victory are sung in the camps of the godly. This Psalm 118 also gave reference. What do we celebrate just before Easter Sunday? What's the Sunday before? We call it Palm Sunday. And what do we shout on Palm Sunday? Hosanna, 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 right? Which means save us, save now. Psalm 118 says this. They were actually singing Psalm 118 as Jesus was riding into Jerusalem on the donkey. Save us, we beseech you. O Lord, we beseech you. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. And the very next verse gives us this imagery. Bind the festal procession with branches. Palm Sunday. With Jesus as the cornerstone, not only is it built to last, but it brings with it victory. But that's really maybe not applicable for you right now in 2019. So point number three should really hit you right between the eyes. And the third truth out of this Jesus as the cornerstone is the truth that cornerstones are meant, their purpose is to be built upon. To be built upon. Jesus said to Peter, Peter who wrote this letter, Peter, who do you say that I am? And he said, you're the Messiah, you're the Christ. And Jesus says to Peter, you are Peter, which means Petra, which means rock. And on this rock, I will build my church. And here is Peter making it clear, I'm not building the church. No, it's Jesus who is the foundation, Jesus who is the cornerstone. Yes, Peter was the earliest leader of Roman Catholic brothers and sisters. Call him the very first pope. But it is Jesus who is building this, and the foundation has been laid. And so I decided to do something. I decided, you know, the greater Milwaukee area needs more than one Greek freak, right? I mean, Giannis Antetokounmpo can't be the only Greek freak. So I went to the Greek, and I said, what was the word there for church? Do we have any other Greek freaks here in the North Shore? The word for church in this passage? Ecclesia, right, ecclesia, church. And what we need to know is that church has no bricks, no mortar. No, the definition of ecclesia is an assembly of Christians gathered together for worship in a religious meeting. Do we need walls and pews and an organ for a religious gathering? No. Can we have a religious gathering? Can we be church at Clody Park? Yes. Can we be church, ecclesia, around a campfire at Lake Lucerne? Yes. Wherever we are gathered together, we are church. The second definition of church is the whole body of Christians scattered throughout the entire earth. The entire earth. And because cornerstones are meant to be built upon, we are called to build. Peter says this just earlier, come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight, and like living stones. Have you ever once thought of yourself as a living stone? Maybe a rolling stone, but a living stone. And like living stones, let yourself be built into a spiritual house. A spiritual house with Christ as the cornerstone. Christ as the cornerstone. God is building a living temple, building ecclesia out of living stones. And friends, we are privileged enough to be a part of it. You and I are living stones. As we celebrate one who has been with us for so many decades, we need to celebrate all of the generations that have gone before us to create ecclesia, to create this gathering where we are safe to explore our faith, where we are here to walk with one another as we build a spiritual house. So let me ask you this question. And this is a question I want you to talk to people about this week. Maybe talk to the person that you drove here with today. The question is this: what is your foundation? What is your cornerstone? What is it that you have built your life upon? Because brothers and sisters, all around us, people are trying to build their lives like a house of cards. And the wind blows and they come down. Cornerstones are meant to last. Some people build their foundation up off of a fantasy. Or they build their foundation of something that can be knocked down or taken away that can never happen with the cornerstone. And so we need to lay each stone of faith and love consistently, intentionally, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade. And the good news is it's never too late to start to build that foundation. As a matter of fact, some of you maybe know this painful truth. There are some of us here that have to hit rock bottom. And you know what rock bottom is? Losing everything. Some of us need to hit rock bottom until we finally have something strong enough to build upon. That living stone, the bedrock, the cornerstone, solid as anything can be to be built upon. And so we're not building a physical dwelling. How many of you have ever owned a home? Right? And so the day you bought the home, did you say, that's it, it's good forever? No, it doesn't work like that with homes, does it? It takes care. It takes intentional steps to make sure that everything is the way it should be. And so it is with this spiritual house, with Ecclesia. We need to be intentional about the ways in which we build ourselves and one another's up. And this is not a physical dwelling. We have some beautiful homes here on Lake Drive. Some of them we would classify as mansions. And not all of us are ever going to be able to afford to live in a mansion made of brick, stone, wood, or steel. But all of us, because Jesus Christ is our cornerstone, all of us can build a mansion of spiritual dwelling, one living stone at a time. And God has planted us in a community of faith where there are people in our midst that we would say, man, they seem to be a spiritual giant. I wish I had the faith they have. We walk with one another. And so, friends, Jesus as the cornerstone, built to last, bringing with it victory and asking us, demanding of us to build our spiritual houses upon it. And so just as we said in our call to worship this morning, O God of all creation, you are the solid foundation upon which we build our daily lives. We gather before you to align our lives to the strong teaching and life of Jesus Christ, who is our cornerstone. Who is our
cornerstone.
Amen. Which by definition means, may it be so.